treat today. The Bible is treating us to a fantastic dose of crap. Welcome to Thomas and the Bible, the 27th episode, chapter 15 of Leviticus. And the Lord, before I start, as some of you might be following right now, Christopher Hitchens is not doing so well. I think I'm going to ask that we all pray for him. And by pray, I mean nothing. Think hard about him. No. It really, really sucks. That guy has another 10 or 20 years of solid existence. Solid literary and atheistic and it just all that stuff. He just has a lot he could still say. It's just really sad, but can't question God, you know. Can't. He works in mysterious ways. So that sucks, and hopefully if you don't know Christopher Hitchens, which I'm sure you do, I've talked about him a bit, but try to check him out, and if you're anywhere near Alabama, you're really lucky, because I think his one scheduled debate that he has, he might schedule more if he's still feeling okay, but that's the one thing he still has on his schedule, is like September 7th in Birmingham, Alabama. If it wasn't a 28-hour, 36-hour drive or whatever it is, I'd go. And actually, if it was on a Saturday, I might still go and drive, make the huge road trip, but it's on a Tuesday, so that's pretty undoable. So that sucks, but if you're anywhere near that, check that out. I think it's only $25 or something, but hopefully if he does anything on the West Coast, which I can't see him doing, but if he does, I'm there. Maybe I'll see you there. All right, let's cheer ourselves up with a bit of Leviticus, huh? This one's pretty good, right off the bat. Okay, and the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue he is unclean. So good, right off the bat. I don't know if you guys, I don't think I knew what that meant at first, but I read the notes and it said, you could just imagine these religious, here's how they would say the note. I think here's what I hear. So I just read, when any man hath a running issue out of his flesh because his issue is unclean. I just imagine, well, if there's a man whose seed, either in sleeping or else of weakness of nature, issues at his secret part, then he's unclean. That's really what the note says. Whose seed, either in sleeping or else of weakness of nature, issues at his secret part. Yeah, that's some secret. I think that's a secret that pretty much everybody knows about. You mean that body part that somewhere around 3.25 billion people plus countless forms of other creatures all across the world have? No, but this one's secret. I have no problem with people keeping their penises to themselves, especially women, but I just can't get enough of how awkward religious people are about sex. It's just so funny. You have the Bible, which, you know, it's trying to be poetic. It's because if the Bible just said if a guy has semen leaking out of his penis, and you're supposed to believe, if a Bible just said this, you would never. I think it would ruin the mood. Let's just say. But the funny part is, you have the Bible being all poetic and cryptic, and then you have a note that's supposedly explaining the Bible that's like just as cryptic. It's slightly less cryptic. I find it so funny. I actually heard just the other day, I heard a great quote from Stephen Fry in a debate, which you should look up, which was he and Christopher Hitchens, actually, against some Catholics. And the Catholics made some comment about society being obsessed with sex, and Stephen Fry said, no, we have a healthy attitude about it. And he said, it's like with food, the only people obsessed with food are the anorexic and the morbidly obese. Everybody else just has a normal attitude about it. I don't know if I conveyed the message perfectly, but I thought it was just a really well put point. But anyway, just to sum up what we've gone through so far in this two verses, God is telling Moses, so God says to Moses, Moses, when semen leaks from your penis, either because of a wet dream or because you masturbated, which I'll probably kill you for or something, that man is unclean. That's what God's decided to put in his holy book here. So moving on. And this shall be his uncleanness in his issue. His issue. Whether his flesh run with his issue or his flesh be stopped from his issue, it is his uncleanness. I can't. Now it's really funny. His issue. Every bed whereon he, it's like an awkward mom you're having this conversation with. Like, God's really awkward about it. He can't. God's like, yes, I created you and I know everything, but those parts are so awkward. Even God thinks so. And whosoever toucheth his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in the water and be unclean until the even. And he that sitteth on anything whereon he hath sat that hath the issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean till the even. This must have been the most awkward, like, when your Jewish mom, you know, somehow found out that you had a wet dream or something. The next day just must be hell. It's like, oh, honey, don't touch that. Don't touch that cup he just touched. Otherwise, you're going to be unclean, too. The dad's like, oh, jeez. Can't you talk to him about it? And he that sit at night, I read that. And if he that hath the issue spit upon him that is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean till the even. Spit? Well, I think you would do that anyway. Someone spit on you? Weird. So basically, if you masturbate, anything you touch or sit on is unclean for the whole day. And then you masturbate again the next day and so on. So I'm going to venture a guess and say that pretty much nothing in the entire world is ever clean for more than 5 minutes by this definition. And what saddle soever he rideth upon that hath the issue shall be unclean. And this is why whenever I'm jumping, I'm going to ride on another man's saddle. Whenever I'm going to do that, I always ask him if he's masturbated within the last 24 hours. Always. You always got to ask that. You got to be smart. You know, you gotta know that. You don't want to be unclean. You don't want to bear his iniquity. And whosoever toucheth anything that was under him shall be clean until the even. And he that beareth any of those shall be unclean till the even. I think I said clean. He that beareth any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And whomsoever he toucheth that hath the issue and hath not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And the vessel of the earth that toucheth which hath the issue that he toucheth, this is a tongue twister, this one, shall be broken. And every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. Huh, interesting. Every vessel of the earth shall be broken that he touches. You know what? I think I just figured this out. The people who had a lot to gain by making up this stupid religion, pottery store owners. Hear me out on this. I think that Abraham or I wonder. Abraham or Moses, maybe they actually were pottery makers. But they left out the detail because it would be too obvious. And then slyly they stuck this bit in here. That anyone who's masturbated within the last 24 hours, which is everyone, any pottery they touch, you have to break. So it's diabolical. I mean, come on. It sounds far-fetched, but, you know, just imagine someone comes into this pottery store. Hi, I need a – give me – give me that one, you know, that just a basic cheap one for carrying water. Really? You need another water carrying pot, huh? That's your
It's your fourth one today, actually. I couldn't help but notice. Kids running around the house breaking them. Yeah, that's what it is. I got a dog. He bumps it every once. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, here you go. And when he that hath an issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself. Number to yourself. Don't number to anybody else. 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean. Wow, I was trying to help the Bible out. So if you masturbate, you're unclean for a week. Unreal. It's, I can't believe that anyone could go for a religion that condemns things that everybody is just like biologically engineered to do. But in all seriousness, you have to just pity anyone who really believes this. Like, life must be hell. There's two options. You either live in just constant anguish and guilt, or just be a complete hypocrite. And I'd say most people go for the second route. And on the eighth day, he shall take to him two turtle doves, or two young pigeons, and come before the Lord unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and give them unto the priest. So I think, so you have to sacrifice two turtle doves or two pigeons. I think probably on like the sixth day of this rule. God just published the Bible. It's on the New York Times bestseller list. It actually pre-sold onto the bestseller list. And so I'd say about day three after it comes out, after it's published, God comes down and he's like, all right, I need to make a few amendments, everybody. Thanks for grabbing my book. I can autograph them too if you want to. I need to change something. Remember that I'd written something like, whenever you masturbate, you must sacrifice two dodo birds. Yeah, bad news. Honestly, we've blown straight through the damn things. They're gone, actually. There's not a single one left. It's pretty unbelievable. I'd made billions of those things. They were everywhere, those dodo birds. They were the most. I put them in places they couldn't even really survive, because I thought you'd need I estimated you'd need quite a few, but God, I had no idea. So I've changed it to two pigeons, and I'm really hoping they'll hold out, pigeons. But in case they don't, I'll also two turtle doves. So I'm expanding our options. So just go with that, everybody. Just go with that one for now. And I'm thinking I'll just come up with some way for you guys to not have to follow this, but for me to still be omniscient and all that. I'm working on that. I'll get back to you guys on that part. But until then, two pigeons or two turtle doves, four times a day, when you're going through your adolescence, and then one or two times a day after that. And and scene. And the priest shall offer them the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord for his issue. I think every time they said the word issue, I should have done it like that. For his issue. And if any man's seed of copulation go out from him, makes it sound like they have a mind of their own. Like, hey, damn it, come back here. Don't go out from me. Then he shall wash all his flesh in water and be unclean until the even. And every garment and every skin whereon is the seed of copulation shall be washed with water and be unclean until the even. The woman also with whom man shall lie with seed of copulation, they shall both bathe themselves in water and be unclean until the even. And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, then she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even. Oh, this is so hilarious, and it's just too easy. So, so women who have an issue, i.e. they're on their period, have to be set apart from society for 7 days, and anyone who touches them is unclean. People wonder why the Bible is perceived as being sexist or sexist. No, I think just sexist. I don't hear too many people complaining about that other thing. Sorry, my throat is feeling a little... I was sick for like 3 or 4 days here, so I got some throat stuff going on. Sorry if I sound annoying. And if I keep doing that. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean till the even. See, all this is why at work I'm constantly inquiring as to whether or not the women are on their periods. I mean, of course I don't word it like that. I don't just say, are you on your period? No. Who do you think I am? I ask, hey, for my religion, you guys, you gals, can you just let me know if you've had a blood issue from the flesh of your secret part within the last week? Anyone? I just don't want to, I want to keep track of what chairs you've sat on and make sure I don't sit on them. Yeah, you know, I broach it like that, like God told us to, you know. That's use God's words. He's all powerful, so obviously no one would have any problem with me asking that. And if it be on her bed or on anything whereon she sitteth, when he toucheth it, he shall be unclean till the even. And if a man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and the bed whereon he lieth shall be unclean. So let me get this straight. You just used flowers as a metaphor for something that you're condemning as dirty and sinful? I don't get it. And it gets worse. In the notes, it's telling me that we're going to get to some awesome parts later where you're actually sentenced to death if you have sex with a girl on her period knowingly. And flowers is the metaphor you want to use for that? Seems sort of schizophrenic. If I actually believed in this, I'd use like fire or death juice or something as my metaphor, but not flowers. I don't know that that's really the best word. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation, she shall be unclean. Every bed whereon she lieth, all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation. And whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. I swear we already read most of this. And whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean. Yeah, I think we've heard all this. God could have just said one freaking verse. Anyone who touches anything involved with masturbation or period is unclean until the even. Like, that's it. But if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. And on the eighth day she shall take unto her 2 turtles, or 2 young pigeons, and bring them unto the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her before the Lord for the issue of her uncleanness. Thus shall ye separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, that they die not in their uncleanness when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. Defile my tabernacle. So anyone who has been designated unclean by any one of these billion stupid commandments is not allowed in the tabernacle, otherwise they'll die. You know, it must have been a pretty lonely tabernacle for old God, huh? Must have been like, okay, so not, you know, he numbers out all these things, he lists all these things, and then the next day, where the hell is everybody? Why am I in an empty tabernacle talking to myself? And then also, what was I going to say? Uncleanness, defilement. Oh, I love that somehow if the woman has had her period or is having it and she comes in the tabernacle, that's defiling it. But, I mean, What about like a week before her period, or just any time when all that stuff is in the place that it lives? Does that somehow, because it's in like a vessel, then it's okay? Then it doesn't defile, you know? Is it like if I had like dog poop or something and I put it in a plastic bag, I could bring it in the tabernacle, but if my dog pooped in the tabernacle, I don't have a dog, but I'm just bear with me here, then that would be, he'd be defiling it. I'm trying to understand these rules, that's all. It's not with God. I would just think that, you know, it wouldn't matter if it was in a little like encasement or something, because he's God. God isn't the wood of the floor of the tabernacle that the poop is getting on. God is God. He's everywhere. So I'm just wondering, like, why does it matter that it be in its place, is all. I'm just trying to be a good Christian. I want to, or Jew, I don't know. This is the law of him that hath an issue. And of him whose seed goeth from him and is defiled therewith. The whole time I imagine like some poor Christian mom like trying to read this to their kid or something, you know, it's just so, or Jewish. I don't know if it's, nobody must read this. It's so stupid. There's no possible way anyone could read this. And of her that is sick of her flowers, and of him that hath an issue, of the man and of the woman, and of him that lieth with her that is unclean. That is sick of her flowers. So hear that, ladies, never get sick of your flowers. I bet there's a whole group of women who don't understand metaphor and are just puzzling over this. They're, you know, like keeping old dead flowers that their husbands gave them like 25 years ago. Honey, aren't you sick of those flowers? No, not at all. Why? I'm not sick of these. I love them. people who don't understand, you know. Well, sick of her flowers means on your period. Sick of her flowers. Anyway, so the Bible is, you know, sexist as usual. And the funny thing here is, at least men have the theoretical possibility, however remote it might be, of being clean for a few days, maybe weeks of their lives, maybe months. Whereas women are actually engineered to be unclean monthly. Tough luck, huh? They never wondered why God, you know, did that like clockwork, like made you unclean. All right, done with that chapter. Chapter 16. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. I don't know if you remember that. The two sons of Aaron like exploded in a ball of fire for something they did wrong. Even though they were offering, I think they offered something wrong, I guess. Excuse me. And so they exploded. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. I don't understand the logic of that sentence, but whatever. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. What makes you think Aaron still wants to offer anything to you after you've murdered his children for trying to offer to you, but doing it slightly incorrectly? I don't think I'd have much to do with old God after that. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore he shall wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering, and 1 ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. This is awesome. Is this the origin of the word scapegoat? Because that's pretty, I gotta say, it's kind of cool for some reason. It's literally a goat which one punishes for problems that couldn't possibly be his fault. That's awesome. I had no idea it was so literal. Also, if you haven't had the privilege of hearing someone say escape goat instead of scapegoat, you're really missing out. For some reason, the image of an escape goat to me is the funniest thing. I just imagine people who plan bank robberies, you know, they always have like an escape goat tethered like outside on a little post, like just waiting, ready to go. Oh, also make sure when you rob a bank to change scapegoats several times in case the police can track the gin that is the goat ID number and trace the goat back to you. I say escape just because I think usually the people who are stupid enough to say escape goat actually will say escape goat just because that it's easier to say escape. Like X. But, yeah, escape goat. A goat is the last possible thing you would want to escape on. There's no, they're not bred for speed, those goats. You don't, have you ever gone to the, you know, a goat racetrack? No, you haven't, because they're not runners. And imagine if you get on one of those fainting goats. I don't know if you've seen those, but those ones where if you chase them or make a loud noise and they just go paralyzed. What if you accidentally grabbed one of those for your scapegoat after the bank robbery? Like, damn it. Yeah, oh, good. Come on, everybody. Jump on the scapegoat. And then, you jump on and there's some loud, somebody shoots a gun or does something. It just falls over. Damn it. Foiled again. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. I love this. Hey, good news, kid. You won the Lord's lot. The goat's like, oh, yes. Is that, what is it, money? Money involved? How much? I've been thinking about this ever since, I was a kid. I want to take the money in installments. I don't want the lump sum because that seems less responsible somehow. I think if I take it in installments, that'll be smarter. And Aaron's like, there's money eventually. Once you get to goat heaven, goat's like, what? Goat heaven? Yeah, no, you won the Lord's lot, and you get to be killed. Ta-da! Yay! Hooray! All right, I got nothing. I got no notes for the rest of this chapter because it's pretty much just describing boring things. But we'll see. See if I can come up with anything. Probably not. You'll just be like, man, this guy's trying too hard. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. I bet the scapegoat... I bet the goat who won the Lord's lot was like, shit, if only I had an escape goat right now, I would just dart out of this place. See you later, suckers! Yeah! Scapegoat. It's so funny. Oh, God, it's so funny. You know what? If proof of God is the fact that he made the word scapegoat so that people could make the joke scapegoat. Because there's just nothing funnier to me. Like I've seen someone in an interview. I know it's on like The Office as a joke, and that's funny. But I've actually seen someone in an interview say that. Like, oh, they needed an scapegoat to blame for scapegoat. Like, that's their ticket out of blame. You know, like, that's their ticket out of here. It's just a scapegoat. Oh, sorry. It's just so funny to me. Let's see. Time for the mic cable to start fuzzing. Like clockwork, it does that. I don't know why that is. Actually, I think it's actually my recording interface. This is all very interesting. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. I think I'm just going to read kind of fast through this because we're getting on in length here. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. I love any time he says that he die not. It's just hilarious to me. Because God's going to murder him if he does any of this wrong. So he's like telling him all these stupid, you know, minuscule little things he has to remember, that he die not. And he shall... I wonder what happens when... I'm surprised it didn't happen more often that people didn't mess up and then not die. And then everyone was like, what? Why didn't you die? I'm pretty sure that you waved the bloody leg of the cow 6 times instead of 5 or 7 or whatever. And he didn't die. I don't understand. Probably years later he dies of like a heart attack. And they're like, ah, that's proof. You know, actually, that is pretty solid. That's actually a pretty good scheme because, you know, 99% of people die eventually. 98-99%. So you, that could be your argument. It's just like whenever the person dies, like, yeah, you know why he just died? I remember there was one time when he didn't wave the offering properly, and the Lord said that he's gonna die. Bill, he was 92. No, I know. He was looking good though. He could have lived to be he could have been 100. He before his time. Yeah, he was taken before his time, you know, premature death because of not doing the offering properly. You mark my words. And he shall take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger 7 times. 7 times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin. Also in the notes, it mentions something about 7 being a perfect number or one of the perfect numbers. Like a number can somehow be perfect. Like what is the quality by which a number is, or as they put it in philosophy, what is it by virtue of which the number, a number could be perfect? One would be a pretty perfect number to me. If I were thinking of, even though I think the concept is ridiculous because it depends on what you're applying. You know, like if you're building a bicycle, 7 wheels, that's not going to be that perfect a number, I got to say. That's going to be one of the crappier numbers that you could build, you know. If you're if you're having children, 7 is going to be quite a bit. That's not a good example. But if you're building a not if you're building, but if you're... Okay, see, this is what happens when I don't write things down. I start reading while I'm thinking, and then I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I thought I had to get a funny... Like, hey, this is a funny example of something that would take 7, but not be... And then... Let's just... Everybody simultaneously just forget that the last 30 seconds just happened. Because I have this policy of never wanting to go back and edit anything. Because... For one, if I did, I'd probably edit all kinds of things, and then I'd never finish a podcast because they're so long. But anyway, you know, 7, the bicycle example was good. 7's an okay number. It's certainly a prime number. It's not an even number. I would think a perfect, I would want, what I would look for in a number that I was going to mate with or something is I'd like it to be even, and I'd like it to be a multiple of like a billion things, like 12. 12 is an awesome number because it's a multiple of 2, 3, 4, 6, and 11. No, it's not. But the first couple. And 1, it's a multiple of 1. Or 0. 0 is a cool number. I would think that would be like the God number because God is... nothing, but he's everything or something, you know. I don't know. I wonder why 7 is all. This was a long, stupid, just ignore me. Just, you know, tune me out. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people and bring his blood within the veil and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement of the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he comes out, and have made an atonement for himself, and for his household, and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord, and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock, and of the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger 7 times, and cleanse it, and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. I think it would have been funny if God, in his infinite douchemanship, was like, you know what the perfect number is? 6,927,834,907.2. So sprinkle it that many times. Because, like, he's God. He has all the time in the world. So a perfect number. Why? You know, ask yourself this. Isn't it fishy that a perfect number is one that we can count to so easily? You know, I mean, if we're talking things eternal, numbers are, you know, they're pretty objective. They exist outside of humans, sort of. And especially if there's a God, you know, God's got all kinds of numbers at his disposal. Wouldn't a perfect number be like a buttload, just like, you know, billions, million, trillions, numbers we haven't even heard of? Maybe some number that's actually infinity somehow, like we haven't figured that out yet. No. or infinity would probably be the most perfect number I could think of, even though it's not really a number, but. And you shall sprinkle the blood upon it infinity times, because that's the best number. And people are like, infinity times? God, we'll never finish. You know, that's a lot. I don't think anyone, you know, what year is it? I don't think anyone's counted past, gosh, I don't know, maybe 200,000 or something like that. I don't think anyone's counted past that. Hey, Bill, did you count past 200,000 the other day? Did I remember hearing about? No, see, Bill's our biggest counter. He's only counted to 200,000. I don't know. I mean, they speculate there are numbers higher than that, but God, infinity? We can't. And God's like, oh, you puny humans. Okay, 7. How about 7? Is that a good number for you, you puny humans? Stupid humans. 7 times. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel. All of them? Jeez. So Aaron has to confess every sin of all the children of Israel on this cow and put the transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. Boy, that's a pretty big head you got on that goat to fit all the sins of all the people of Israel. How does he know all the sins? I guess, do they go, have we covered confession? I don't think Jews do that, so I don't think we can't have covered that. Maybe he knows because they have to, you know, he keeps inventory of everything they've sacrificed, like how many turtles and all that they've done. And so he has like a little log. Like, and for Sally, I pick very Jewish names on purpose. And for Sally, she masturbated 3 times the other day. I gotta ask her on a date. She seems to, let's just put it this way, God. She goes through the turtle doves between you and me. Maybe she's just on her period a lot. No. He has to confess all their sins on this goat and put them all on the goat's head. You know, they've huge ass head on that goat. And the goat shall bear, I couldn't even confess all my sins to a goat. I would never, I sin in my sleep probably. I don't even, there's no way I'd even remember half of them. And the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth, and offer his burnt offering, and the burnt offering of the
the people and make an atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall he burn upon the altar. And that, and he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward come into the camp. You know, the only thing, if there's one thing you could say for the Bible so far, I try to be fair-minded about this. I like its hygiene, I gotta say. It's always telling you to wash your stuff, you know, if you're unclean. And since, conveniently, we're unclean every 5 minutes for some sin or another, the people must have been really clean though back then. Ironically, these people who have been condemned of being condemned to be so unclean are ironically the cleanest people in the land. That's how you could tell the chosen people, like, gosh, they're constantly washing their clothes. And what do you think that's about? Do you know what that's about? Yeah, no, I don't. That's weird. And the bullock for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins and their flesh and their dung. Just grab a handful of dung and throw it in the fire. And he that burneth them shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water. You know, what water are they using? Because I wonder how soon until the water becomes really dirty. You know, like, does the water stay clean forever? What if they only have this little kiddie pool full of water that they're all using? It's just like this mud and blood bath. They're like, yeah, you're unclean. You need to wash yourself. Where? In that, see that pool over there? That water, you go wash yourself in that. Wash myself in that? You're saying I'm unclean and I need to wash myself in that. You cannot be serious. And this shall be a statute forever unto you. I would think God would have said forever unto you until I send Jesus. Because did he not know in advance that he was going to do that, being timeless and all? Then in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest to you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. I wonder if the tenth day of the seventh month is ever the Sabbath day, if it's like a super Sabbath. Like, they can't even like breathe or do anything. They can't even walk. They just have to, it's like ultra Sabbath. And by a statute, by the way, forever, he says. He doesn't say until I decide that the Old Testament is meaningless. He says forever. And the priest whom he shall anoint and whom shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead shall make the atonement and put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments, and he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation, almost done, and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement of the priests, and for the people of the congregation. And there shall be an everlasting statute unto you. He didn't, you know, parentheses, oh, by the way, Moses, I told you everlasting and forever and all that. I don't want to give away my game plan, but should I happen to put down my son onto the earth and then murder him, just saying hypotheticals here, hypotheticals, then maybe it won't apply anymore. But until then, everlasting. Moses is like, what? What about your son? You're going to kill your son? I don't understand. Why would you do that? Are you at least going to make it nice and quick and painless? I think so. I don't know. The hypotheticals. I don't have anything planned. I'm just saying that if I send my son down and murder him violently, you didn't say violently. Well, I didn't say violently. Well, you know, violently or unviolently. If I murder him, lethal injection, anything. If I murder my son, these things that I'm telling you are everlasting, even though I've said that a number of times, they might not be everlasting. Then that's all I'm saying. Moses, work with me here. Do I need to find a new chosen scribe person? Preferably one that could write? I mean, I've been thinking about that anyway. Oh, I could go on for days like that, I know. And this shall be an everlasting statute to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. All right, chapter 17 is a short one. Don't worry, guys. The book of Leviticus, chapter 17. And the Lord, Moses, spake unto Moses. Oh, whoops. No, I'm starting to blend that in. I've said that sentence a million times. I should know that by now. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron. Does he need to say that every chapter? Because I feel like he's always been doing that. Couldn't we just say, for the next several years, the Lord will be speaking to Moses, and he shall say, you know, then move on. Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, and speak unto all the children of his dead sons, I guess. He must have more sons than just the two. He must have like 60 children. And unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, oh, I just thought of a good example for the number 7, you know, like, 7's a good number. God, I can't think of one reason why it'd be a perfect number. Let's say when you're talking in terms of prime numbers, sure, 7 is a good number. But when you're talking in terms of herpes outbreaks, you know, I could think of more perfect numbers is all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's bad. You know, 7, well, sorry. It's certainly not favorable. You might hope for fewer, you know. But it's an okay number. You know, maybe one or less than one would, which is what I strive for, would be a better number. All I'm saying is this whole perfect number thing is a bit relative. That's all I'm saying. That's the point I'm trying to make. That's all I'm trying to say. What man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man, and he hath shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people, to the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, and offer them for peace offerings unto the Lord. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar and the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And I feel like they just throw in of the tabernacle of the congregation in just random places. I should make like a parody of the Bible where I just use all like these methods of increasing the length that they do and just do all of them and make some like one statement and make it like 5 pages long. That'd be funny. Someone should do that. Get on that. And burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord, because he's into that kind of thing. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils after whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statute forever, unless, you know, that thing we talked about, Moses, but wink, wink. Tell them forever. They'll be dead. They won't know the difference. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. So, you know, I just read something today. It was a comment made on an article about religion I read. By some random dude that seemed to be pretty clearly a religious moderate or progressive or whatever. And he made a comment about how every god that man has created throughout history is really just a tribute or expression or something like that of the one true God. And first of all, I just find that so funny. Like, you know, what's the people are probably saying about that about your God too. I mean, what about polytheists? Were like all their different gods really just the expression of one true God? Like they're trying to make, I just think they're trying to circle a square or whatever, square around or whatever the hell that phrase is. And they talk about this. A lot of Christians I've heard say this. I think it's become a response to when like atheists like you and I mention how improbable it is that we would happen to be born into the correct religion, or if we say things like, I treat your belief in God just the same as belief in Zeus or any other god, that kind of thing. I think it's become a response to that to sort of like make it sort of deal with that, even though it doesn't directly really deal with it, but it sort of does, you know, kind of like they like to do. And if this were true, then why does God have such a problem with us worshiping or sacrificing to other gods? Like, if they're all just him, who cares? I could sacrifice to God or I could sacrifice to Johnny Depp. Like, that's my God. Does that mean Johnny Depp is an expression of God? Because he certainly is dreamy enough to be. So he clearly wants some loyalty here. And while it may be diplomatic and progressive to say that all religions are ultimately okay because they're praying to the same God, even if they don't know it because they're idiots or something like that, to say that is just definitely not based on this text. Anyway. So thou shalt say unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers which sojourn among you, that offereth a burnt offering or sacrifice, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, to offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood. Really interesting, geometry that goes in. He sets his face against the soul that's eating blood. Like, how do you work all that out? Like, what is that? Anyway, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood, and whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh, the blood it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is in the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth shall be cut off. It's funny that you can't eat blood because it's too sacred, but you can, like, pour it on the ground, just kick some dust over it, and then you're good. And every soul that eateth that which died of itself, or all those, you know, like, Hamlet-style goats and cows are like, oh, I just can't go on. Just F this. I'm out of here. Stab themselves. To be or not to be. Anything that died of itself, or that which was torn with beasts, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself and be unclean till the even. The person that ate it, that is. But if he wash them not nor bathe his flesh, he shall bear his iniquity. All right, then we're done. Oh, that was a long one, but, you know, my new time limit rules. Now it's more just a convenience thing for me because I got crap to do. Now, this was awesome. Oh, I don't know if anyone is actually listening to this. It seems like I've, you know, got a few subscribers based on my thing that tracks it or whatever. Please, I really ask you to review it on iTunes. It's just such a nice, it's selfish of me. I just think it's really cool to read, you know, reviews. And especially if you're going to threaten me with dismemberment for saying this, then that too. No, it's just cool. I think the more reviews it gets and the better ratings it gets, then, you know, the more it shows up in searches or anything like that. So I'd really appreciate it. And if you do that, then I'll know you were listening, and that will bring a single tear to my eye. And then I'll know there is a God. Because, after all, how could things such as our emotions come from monkeys? Therefore, my hypothesis is true. Since yours is clearly wrong, mine is true. All right, see you guys next time. I'm thinking I might do just be on your toes for bonus episodes. I might not stick to this once a week thing. I mean, in general, that's the minimum is once a week, but I might try to do more. Because I was just thinking today, like, man, I really want to finish this Bible sometime in my life. So we'll see about that. But until next time, see you guys later. Bye.